Hi, folks. It is September the 9th. You are listening to WVEWLP 107.7 FM, Brattleboro Community Radio. It's Wednesday night. You're listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken.
And I'm Becca.
We have to jump right in. We have no time to chat. Last week, we told you guys about a 16-year-old in our lovely state of Vermont who asked the Vermont Human Rights Commission to require the state's middle and high schools to offer genderless bathrooms. We could talk more about that, but we would much rather welcome that 16-year-old to our show.
Absolutely.
Kyle Guillard Chase, welcome to This Show. Joe is so gay. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
How did we do on the last name?
I did okay on the last name.
It was okay. He done better than others.
All right. Oh. That really wasn't glowing. Fine, Kyle. We're moving on from that. Kyle, tell us what is going on with you. Start over as if we didn't tell anyone this story. Tell everyone what you are working on.
Okay. Well, a couple months ago, at Outright Vermont's annual Gay-Straight Alliance conference, it was voted on by representatives from 18 high schools that their number one priority to feel safe in schools and be comfortable was to have a gender-neutral bathroom. And so what I've been working on, working with principals, school boards, the Human Rights Commission, the whole nine yards, is to get gender-neutral bathrooms in schools and have students feel safe and make an environment which lives up to the Gender Identity Non-Discrimination Bill.
Now, what was it like talking to the Vermont Human Rights Commission?
They're great. They understand, you know, school can sometimes be a tough place to be, and I think there are, like, a lot of people who want to make Vermont schools safe, and so they're really supportive, and I appreciate their feedback and the feedback that others will give me.
Well, can we talk about their feedback for a second?
Sure.
So in one of the articles, Joseph Benning, the chairman of the commission's board, it says in the article, told you that you should be prepared to deal with resistance from school officials. And he said in this quote, you've begun the process by opening up doors even to us. Go, Kyle. Once you start on that path, however, you are going to run into opposition. As you go down the road, you need to be prepared for it. How did you take that in?
Well, I think, you know, in that situation, I think he was talking in the way of, like, being very supportive, and he was just talking out of experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff can happen, and it may not always, someone's views may not always be in line with someone else's, and that's going to happen no matter what you're doing. And I think he also mentioned the fact that teachers want to make schools a safe place. And
absolutely.
So I really supported his feedback, and I thanked him for it, and you know, he's a great guy.
Hey, now, have you run into any opposition? Because tell us who they are, and we'll go find them.
Well,
I'm not sure we'll do much good.
Okay, we won't do anything, but we'll find them and throw our radio show at them.
Well, I heard Becca has a shotgun, so.
That is on the website.
I do not
actually have
a shotgun. I shot a gun once.
Moving on. Have you run into any opposition?
You know, I have had a couple Christian right view kind of thing, but the feedback that I've gotten from my peers and stuff has been it's what's keeping me going, because I log into Facebook and I get all these messages from people I don't even know being like, I want to say thanks, like, you know, it's great what you're doing. So that's what keeps me going.
Yeah, it
Absolutely.
Is so good. Do you sometimes wake up and say, wait a second, I'm 16, I should be doing other things?
Like sleeping.
Well, sleeping. Like right now. Are you supposed to be doing homework right now?
You know, I actually finished it. So
all right.
Okay.
What are the next steps, Kyle? What happens next?
Okay, well, the next steps so far, I am working with my principal, who's on the leadership board of the Vermont Principals Association.
Fantastic.
To have a meeting with them. And I'm sending out all the steps and recommendations I had presented to the Human Rights Commission, and sending that out to all the principals, and I'm hoping to meet with GSAs over the next school year to hopefully work with them and possibly get a petition started.
Now, what can our listeners do? How do we support you? Besides sending you random messages on Facebook.
Because we'll do that.
We'll do it.
Okay. You know, I think the best thing your listeners can do, and all the people out there, is, you know, to talk to their representatives, talk to their school officials, let them know that, hey, gender identity and discrimination based on gender identity is not all that rare, and it's happening. And, you know, just to be that supportive person in the community who who checks in with school officials and makes sure they're getting their work done and making schools a better place.
Yeah, we were talking about this on last week's show, that we're definitely getting to the point where schools are starting to talk about the L's and the G's and the B's, but issues of transgender just still aren't really making the agenda. Is that your feeling as well?
You know, I think it happens a lot in general in the queer community. The transgender people kind of get thrown under the bus, but I think right now the queer community is really stepping up and supporting their fellow transgender people, and I think we'll see in the next couple of years now with, you know, it's 12 states in the District of Columbia that have gender identity discrimination protection laws. So I think, you know, it's coming along. I think we'll soon see more discrimination laws in states, and I think we can work with those laws in making a safe place for transgender students or gender nonconforming students.
Kyle, you're 16. You're not supposed to sound this educated.
I'm sorry.
No, we'll take it. It's just, gosh, we're so proud of you. I mean, you have to know that you are doing amazing work, right?
Well, thank you so much.
But not even, like, for a 16-year-old, for a human being in general. So just ignore Ken.
Now,
ageist.
Well, thank you so much.
have we started the college process yet?
I have started the college process. I am looking to go pre-med at Wesleyan University in Connecticut.
Holy cow.
Wowzers.
Yes.
Do you know where you're going to be when you're 27? I mean, it seems like you just know. You have it all plotted out. That's fantastic.
Well, you know, my mom always stressed those 10-year life plans, so I guess it's worked out pretty well.
It's worked out amazingly well.
Go,
Kyle,
Mom.
I mean, we know that you're getting this feedback. It will not stop us from saying this to you. You are doing amazing work. We're so proud to be in the same state as you, to be in the same community as you. Our listeners, you must go out there and educate yourself. You must go out there and educate yourself.
But I love this cause because it's something that people are faced with every single day, and it's so easy to change.
Yeah,
it is.
It's a problem that people just don't even realize is a problem.
Absolutely.
You know? And it's so simple to change.
Except
for all the legislation.
Except for all that, yeah.
All
Kyle,
that.
We are putting our faith in you. You're doing great work. Thank you so much on behalf of the entire LGBT community.
Well, thank you so much, Ken, and thank you, Becca.
Will you keep us updated?
Okay, I will.
All the best, Kyle.
Thank you.
Alrighty. Take care.
You want. Just do it. It's already been done. Undo it. It takes two. It's up to me and you to prove it.
A song called Heavy Cross by Gossip. We want to thank our listener. One of our listeners just called in and said how much she was loving the show.
And said lovely things.
And we love her. So that was lovely.
Yes, so thank you.
We love that. So turning to the news, and then we'll move on to some other things. The Harvey Milk Day bill, which we promised to keep you updated on.
Which I keep thinking passed already.
No. He was inducted into the California Hall of Fame, but the bill just keeps failing. So the legislation, just to remind people, would denote May 22nd, which was Harvey Milk's birthday, as a day of significance across the state. The governor's office said Tuesday, yesterday, that it had received more than 100,000 constituent phone calls about the bill, although it was not immediately clear if most were in favor or opposed. And they said that Governor Schwarzenegger has not taken a position on it yet. Although Schwarzenegger did veto a similar bill last year, saying he believed Harvey Milk should be continued to be recognized at the local level by those who were most impacted by his contributions. Now here's where, it gets a little bit fun. Randy Thomason, the president of SaveCalifornia.com. I don't know what that is, and I'm not encouraging people to go there, said that the bill was vague and could allow, Rebecca, for a number of things at schools, including gay pride parades. That's what the bill would apparently do at schools. Or mock gay weddings.
Mock gay weddings
apparently,
in our schools, huh?
Apparently. He said, quote, there's no definition in the bill. There's
that's how we teach straight people.
Yes. There's absolutely, everyone knows that. There is absolutely no limit to what could occur on campuses and go into little children's brains. So Harvey Milk Day, apparently not such a done deal for the folks out there in California. My hope is that this is going to pass. I thought I had this really big academic statement on it. Oh, I believe that. No, I think the bill should just pass.
I always think you have a big academic something.
Sometimes,
or other.
Though.
Not so much.
I just don't. But yeah, no, I was talking about this with a colleague this morning. It's actually been 21 years since Harvey Milk was assassinated. And certainly the movie, which my hope is that everyone has seen the movie at this point. Remember, I took you to that movie. Did I pay for you?
I don't think you did.
No. I don't think I did either. No. That's not really the point of the story.
But was that the first time you saw that movie, Ken?
It was. It was the first time I had seen Milk. I had said that I would reserve that for you, and I feel I did, even though I had seen it earlier. But it
you
was
cheated on me with New York City.
21 years ago, in 1978, that Harvey Milk was assassinated. So yay for the movie.
Now I'm mad at you all over again. You know, I had almost forgotten about this.
Channel,
I had, like, moved on from it.
Mad? How could we just had Kyle?
So you made promises Giard, to me.
Chase
broke
call
them.
Into our show and tell us the great
you
work
broke
that he's
the co-host
doing.
Code.
Let me tell you this. So we had someone write to us. I'm moving on from that because I'm feeling guilty.
Fine.
We had someone write into us on the Facebook account, and you can send us or put things on our wall. You just search for the show. It's okay, and there's a big old group there. But put on our wall or wrote me or something like that and said, I thought the idea of a transgender month was a really good idea, and here's this list of all these different people who we could get, which was fantastic.
Awesome.
And, yeah, no, it was really, really helpful, and I was psyched, and thank you so much. But then I was thinking I didn't really want to do that. Like, I don't really want to just dedicate a month to it and in the same way that we do for some other months and
right.
then feel like, oh, okay, it's transgender month. And
no, I mean, I think we do a fairly okay job of integrating transgender news in with our other news.
Yeah.
But
So if it's okay, I was going to say is if it's okay with people, we're not going to do that. We're not going to dedicate them. If it's okay with you, I haven't even checked with you
yet. You have not checked with me.
You're just looking at me. I don't want to do a month. Can we not do a month? Can we just integrate these issues into our shows and just have guests?
I think it's more about making an effort to include the T and the B.
But I feel like we do that. I just don't want to put it all in one month because it just conveys the impression that for the other months, we don't have to do that. But we will anyway. So maybe we should do a month. I don't know. People should sound off on this issue because I'm clearly a little bit ambivalent.
Ooh, Ken is just like starting to shrink in his chair. He's backpedaling.
So
send us a message.
Send us a message. Becca's on the Instant Messenger right now. If you are on the AOL Instant Messenger, the screen name is This Show Is So Gay. Or you can send us an email at thisshowissogay@AOL.com.
Of course, weigh in on this. There are always scheduling conflicts and issues with that. And maybe it's just not practical to get 4 weeks in a row because we have to work around when our guests have time for us. And our guests are so awesome that they don't always have time for our little Brattleboro show.
Now, we've gotten also a slew of questions from listeners. Just, hey, you said this guest was going to be on and they weren't on. We know.
Yeah, we were here. And it sounds all nice on the iTunes,
sort of
like there was never supposed to be a guest, but there was, and we were here panicking. Not panicking, but disappointed. There have been a series of issues.
And then they always get back in touch with us and they're like, we're so sorry. And something always happens
again?
And we're going to schedule again. So if there was a guest that you were waiting for, we promise they will be back on the show and we will reschedule them. This is the fun part about doing a live show. I know you're listening to it on the podcast and you're thinking, are they in my radio right now? No,
yes,
we're not.
Yes, we are. Really tiny.
We're not, but we are on live on Wednesday nights from 9 to 10 and we hope that folks know that. So that's the
excitement.
I cracked
myself up. I'm sorry.
But then I will say, although this is a little weird because we're supposed to welcome a guest in a couple minutes.
Okay.
We have some other folks who write us and say, oh, you don't need the guest. We just like listening to you and Becca. Well, that's quite lovely, too. But we like having guests.
Yeah.
We like talking to different people and getting different perspectives.
See, what people don't realize is that, well, you're kind of fancy pants, but I'm just some regular gal, and most of these people would never ever talk to me if I just called them up and said, hey, talk to me for 15, 20 minutes or half an hour. But
I must say, I don't know that I've ever been called fancy pants.
Fancy pants.
So that's a
well,
new
have
one
a
for me.
Title and all that.
You have a title too. We all have titles. We're all the gays. So on that note,
we're all the gays
and our allies.
Get that on my business card.
And all the amazing people listen. So we are going to queue up a song and then hopefully, and again, it's hopefully, and if not, we'll talk about other things. We'll queue up a guest. Hold on 1 second, folks.
A price, and I'll keep paying.
say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting.
Oh, those Dixie chicks, they're not ready to make nice. We are, though. Guest, are you there?
Hello.
Oh,
hello.
Good. Now we get to introduce you. After graduating, so you can keep hitting the bottle there.
Yeah.
After graduating from Columbia University with an honors degree in nursing, Will Weichel burst onto the national radar as a cast member of CBS's hit reality show Big Brother 5. He was then the host of Logo's fantastic travel show Round Trip Ticket, which I have seen over and over again. He made his radio debut as one of the hosts of the first nationally syndicated LGBT radio shows called Radio with a Twist. He's been on Bravo's Battle of the Network Reality Stars, Logo's Real Gay Reality Reunion Special, PBS's In the Life. He was quite the villain in last year's another gay sequel, Gays Gone Wild. And he has been named to Out Magazine's Out 100, which is our favorite list of all the lists. Will Weichel, welcome to this show, Is So Gay.
I mean, does that bio not rival Meryl Streep?
It does.
It pretty much does.
She was on a few weeks ago.
She tried to get on Battle of the Network Reality Stars.
She didn't get on. No. She was on a show a few weeks ago, and we just said, yeah, Meryl Streep, she's been in stuff.
Well, I also have to say, speaking of the Battle of the Network Reality Stars, when we recorded that show at the very end, a lot of people don't remember this, but Kathy Griffin's first job for Bravo was hosting this thing called the Reality Reunion.
Oh, I don't remember that.
And she, like, basically, it was the entire cast of Battle of the Network Reality Stars, and they gathered us together in this, like, garage-like studio and had Kathy Griffin go around and ask us each a question. And she came out and immediately made, like, this really off-color joke about Trishelle from The Real World. And
oh, Trishelle.
Ran out of the room and never came back. And,
oh.
You know, it was sort of, like, set the pace. But it's really funny. I think it's probably on YouTube.
So can't we spin that as Will Weichel introduced Kathy Griffin to Bravo?
It was so funny because, you know, I mean, there was, like, major reality stars there, like Omarosa and people from American Idol, and so Kathy would, like, spend a lot of time with them, and then when she got to me, I'm like, oh my God, does she even know Big Brother? I'm going to feel like such a loser because she's not even going to know who I am. And the funny thing was, I said, like, I'm from Big Brother, and she knew, I don't know if you guys watched it, but she knew this guy that was on my cast named Jace. She was
yes.
like, oh my God, were you on the show with the guy with the crazy hair? And I was like, yes.
See, and I wasn't going to talk about this first, but let's delve right into what's going on these days with reality shows. Can we talk about reality shows for a second, Will?
Yeah, totally.
Andy Cohen was on Bravo, from Bravo, is on the cover of The Advocate this month, and I want to read...
One of my friends, he's such a sweetheart.
Look at... You know people.
And I know him through Julie Chen, who, you know, is the host of Big Brother.
Yeah.
They interned together at CBS when they were both coming up. Both budding young superstars. And then after I got off Big Brother, Julie introduced me to Andy. Here's the great story, which is that Andy Cohen, for the people that live in New York, he has this, like, famously, like, fabulous holiday party every year.
Ooh.
And so Julie introduced me to Andy Cohen. Of course, this is, like, around, like, September when I got off Big Brother.
Right.
And he invited me to that year's holiday party. So he has it in his apartment. It's very intimate. It's like, you know, like, I don't know, like 20 or 30 people. And, you know, Andy Cohen is very connected.
I bet.
He is, like, friends with all of the big dogs. So you walk in, and, of course, me, unassuming, you know, nurse-turned-reality idiot, I'm like, totally glazed over like a diabetic in a sugar coma. I mean, seriously, it's like Payne O'Neill and her gaze, like, in the corner.
Oh, my.
Hearing about cocaine. It's Sarah Jessica is on the bed, luxuriating and, like, smoking cigarettes with Matthew Broderick. And it was just fabulous, I have to say. Now, I was too scared to talk to anybody.
Come on.
Andy was so sweet. He introduced me to Sarah Jessica, but it was, like, one of those moments where you just, like, totally freeze up and, you know, can't even speak.
Like, I can put in an IV. Yeah, I don't even know what to say at that point.
Yeah, it was totally stuttering. I think I did anything, but God only knows what it was.
I'm sure it was good. We think it was good, Will.
I bet she remembers.
Yes.
But honestly, I've seen her now because I interviewed her for my radio show later on, and I reminded her that we had met, like, at Andy's. And I've interviewed a lot of celebrities, and now I can say I've seen Sarah Jessica in her personal environment with her friends and then professional, and she is, like, the sweetest person ever, you know?
Wow.
Absolutely.
She's one of those, like, total, like, she's, like, everything that you'd imagine she would be. Even though, I don't know her well, but just, like, seeing her and, like, you know, dissecting every move that she made at the holiday party.
So what I hear you saying, Will, is that you're getting a Sarah Jessica for our show. That's what I heard in that whole story.
I heard that, too.
And you know what the great thing is that she's down with radio malfunctions, because I have this big national radio show.
Yeah.
The thing was, is that with the big stars, a lot of the times they would demand that we went to them to do the interviews.
Right.
So normally they'd send a producer with me, and it would be all good, and it would run smoothly. But for Sarah Jessica, for some reason, it was at the last minute. She was promoting that Failure to Launch movie with Matthew McConaughey.
Not so good.
And not so great, but they sent me to interview her, but the producer was in Jersey, so he couldn't get there in time, and I had to do the radio equipment.
Oh, boy.
Now, I am no mechanic. You know what I'm saying? I can barely jump. I'm afraid if I jump the car, it's going to blow up. Like, I can't interface iTunes with my Apple TV. I can't do anything. So I go there completely nervous because I'm interviewing Sarah Jessica, and I'm responsible for making sure that it's quality sound. And do you know that she sat there with me in the middle of her, like, busy day and helped me for, like, 20 minutes
about
the sound levels and do sound checks, and she afterwards we were done, and I'm like still in like such awe of her, and I'm like sitting there, and she's like breaking down the equipment for me. Crazy.
We need Sarah Jessica.
Nice. Yes,
on our show. We need
even,
help.
We don't even want her on the show anymore. We just want her to do our tech stuff.
Right.
That's fantastic. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I have to say, so one of the interviews, I was going to talk about reality TV, but you opened the door to something else. One of the interviews that you did was with Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
And so
the clip, a clip of that is on YouTube. And what I thought was so interesting about this, I thought it was a fantastic interview.
Thank you.
I thought it was a great interview.
It was one of my favorite interviews I've ever done.
Well, what bugged me about the interview was not the interview, but over. So if you're watching the little YouTube screen there, that's on your left. And on your right, there's a description of the clip you're looking at. And I will quote. It says, from the description, Will Weichel goes toe-to-toe with the views Elizabeth Hasselbeck grilling her on gay marriage.
On gay marriage?
It didn't happen that way. No, you know what the funny thing is that my boyfriend, Jason, was the one who, like, put that clip on YouTube.
Oh.
And so the funny thing was is that I read this afterwards, and he's, like, a news guy.
Okay.
You know, so he's
He's a major news guy.
The hard sell, the, like, breaking news. And, you're exactly right. That interview did not jive with the description, but that was, like, Jason, like, trying to sell it via YouTube.
Now, what's going on? Now that you just opened that door, I got to ask, and if folks don't know who Jason Bellini is, they should. What happened with the Logo News?
Well, you know, Logo, I don't even know. I mean, Jason left. His contract expired in August.
Uh-huh.
And he had made a decision, like, a year in advance, but after his contract came to an end, that he wanted to sort of do different things. Because he started with CNN. Jumping into, like, Kosovo and Baghdad with the Marines. So Logo for him was an amazing experience, and he really wanted, like, to be, like, the anchor and the charge and the ringleader. But, like, after he had done that for a couple of years, he sort of wanted to move on. So when he left, I mean, we all thought that, you know, they would continue to go on and produce the CBS News on Logo, but then it changed to, like, 365day.com.
Yeah,
right.
And they got that guy Ross, and you know, I think that what happened was is that I think Logo had a contract with CBS, and then at the end of CBS's contract with Logo, I think that Logo decided not to renew, probably, I would imagine, because
there was no Jason.
Yeah, and, well, I think that there is, you know, it's probably a very expensive show to produce. I mean, as far as, like, buying it from CBS is concerned.
We think it's lack of Jason.
Yep.
Well, he'd appreciate that.
We think it's lack of Jason.
I've actually never watched the show since he's left, so I can't say anything. I've met Ross once at an awards show.
But, right.
You know. So, well, I mean, you know.
Well, Will, now, one of the things that you are known for, or really appreciated for, and you have all these fan sites, and people love you, and it's your positive attitude, that you have this palpable positive attitude that you can hear over the radio, that you can see through the TV, but that you that you embody this positive attitude. So how are we doing with our, give us your take on LGBT news these days. How are we feeling? Because there was a big article.
How are we doing?
Yeah, the big article that came out, it was just yesterday, was a survey showing that LGBT adults are more confident and hopeful than others in our society on the economy and some other issues. And we've been covering for the past month just about some growing frustration with President Barack Obama. How are you feeling? Give us your positive outlook on today's news and how you're feeling about LGBT news.
Well, I think that, you know, I totally, have got so many things to say. First of all, the fact that LGBT people are feeling more hopeful mm-hmm. about the future, I think that probably has to do with the fact that we've been through 8 years of complete and total oppression. You know, when Bush was getting reelected in 2004, we were his red meat that he doled out to the crowds. And
yeah.
So to not be actually just, outright attack feels so good for us. We sort of probably think, how can it not be just keep getting better?
Right.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, we're not the red meat thrown to the pit bulls, but I think that I'm one of those people that with Barack Obama, I completely 100% was in his camp. Now, I mean, I did cast my primary vote for Hillary, which I'm still very proud of.
That's okay. We support Hillary.
Yep.
But once Hillary was out of the running, then I was totally with Barack. And I'm still with Barack. You know, I still have hope for him. I don't think that they've made the wisest decisions. I think that the biggest disappointment for me, I think that, you know, thinking about, that Justice Department brief that they
Right.
had.
Oh, God, yeah. To DOMA, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, to DOMA. It was to me, once they explained that it was a holdover from the Bush administration that wrote the filing, and I mean, there's still not really no excuse for it, but you would think that they would say, President Obama would say, I don't agree with this. This isn't jive with my philosophy. Just make that point. Because here's the thing to me is that, it's hard to defend him when, my Republican people that I know, and because I come from a very Republican family,
mm-hmm.
now they can say, well, why are you so supportive of Barack Obama? He's not supportive of you.
Right.
And technically, they're right.
Right.
You know, and so I guess that's the hardest thing is that it really sort of leaves us out on a limb.
What
you
now?
Know, I do have hope. I really think that humans have a lot on this plate, and I know that we want everything to happen now, and we deserve it to happen now.
Right.
But I really think that over the next 2 years, I think that we'll start to see sort of change and I don't know. I'm holding out.
You're holding out.
2 years, huh?
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking as far as being reelected and keeping us in his court. Now, I know that it's what are our options, really? I mean, are we going to become Republican? But
right.
In the same breath, I feel like he's going to have to readdress his administration and the way they handled gay issues when he starts to think about re-election. And I think then we can sort of say, what's the deal? What are your promises? You haven't held good on these. What makes us think you could be any different?
Yeah. Well, I have to say, one of the other stories that was out there today, which relates to this, and it is about the National Equality March, which is on October 11th. I don't know if you heard, it's now taking this reality show kind of bent to it, that the organizers of the National Equality March are holding an American Idol-style contest to select two citizen advocates for the speaker's platform at the event in D.C. On October 10th and 11th. We feel, Will, we were talking about this before, we feel like you can be one of those speakers.
Absolutely.
So we will give you the opportunity right this very second to get up to the mic and say, this is what I would say. What do you got, Will?
Yes. Well, first of all, I don't even know how I feel about the National Equality March.
Ooh.
Well, listen, I don't know if you've done any of the research, but and I am speaking completely out of school here because I have not investigated it further since I read the last piece like 3 months ago. But I had read something on my friend Andy Toll's blog that people were saying that allegedly, if you're going to march on the National Mall, that you make a year in advance, sort of like a reservation.
Absolutely.
That allows them to accommodate for, like, the police, the barricade, and to ensure that there's a peaceful protest. And when they're there that weekend in October, A, Congress isn't even in session, and two groups already have the mall reserved.
Right.
And so, I totally agree with the purpose and the logic behind it, but it's like, gosh, like, I just hope that people do things in the way that they're supposed to be done in terms of, like, working with the police to make sure that everybody's safe and that the point is heard. And you know, and I think, like, for these other two groups that have made reservations to be protesting on the mall, it's like, it's almost sort of, like, disrespectful to think, like, our cause is more important than yours when you've made a reservation.
Now, I got to be honest with you, Will. I don't think that that was particularly the speech that's going to win you the slot on the platform.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean, this is constructive criticism. You go with whatever you feel your strengths are. I'm not, I think there's some tweaking that we could maybe do.
Definitely need to tweak that speech. But
yeah, just tweak little minor things like let's not do the march.
I'm definitely a people pleaser, and I try to abide by the law whenever possible. So my only concern is that everybody's doing everything, you know, as they should.
We're invested in you winning this contest, and I'm just not sure that's the best possible delivery, but just tweaking.
Just a little bit. Just constructive.
Now, if I make sure that all the T's were crossed and the I's were dotted, I would just talk about being, I would honestly say being a nurse has colored my experience.
Here we go.
In my opinion, for gay rights, even more so than being in any sort of like public eye or having any sort of public platform. And, you know, it's the thing. I mean, you know, I'm a nurse in the emergency room at a cancer center, and I see people die every day or on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said for family planning and the rights that go along with it. And it's something that is just as important and as necessary as civil rights were with segregation. It's like, you know, like for two people, like husbands, to not be allowed to make their commitment legal. I mean,
right?
That can destroy a life's worth of commitment and building and planning. I mean, it can completely obliterate it, the fact that you're left with nothing. People say, I mean, because it seems like, I mean, I think it's right, and we'll get into a whole conversation here, when people say, oh, well, the civil rights movement for gays is not like the one that our black counterparts went through. You know what? It's not, because they will always have the capital T-H-E civil rights movement of our generation.
Yeah.
And I can understand the fact that they would bristle at some of the comparisons. But at the end of the day, like, we're all minorities struggling together, and I just wish that we would, like, not get up caught up in the, you know, minutiae and the detail and just support each other. To think about the fact that you would, like, be with someone, you know, I was talking to an older friend of mine that's been with his partner for 15 years, and, you know, they're in their 50s, and, you know, God knows they'll be together for many years more, and to get to the end of their life together, and they co-own this, you know, an apartment in New York City, and then so they've said, like, if one of us were to go, like, we don't know if the other could afford with the property taxes and everything that they'd be responsible for, if they could afford to stay here, and, like, that is just it's wrong.
Crazy. It's wrong.
It's so wrong. It really could decimate a life.
This is that we think that your second speech has a better shot.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
We'll go with B.
Okay, we're going to go with B. All right, so now's our favorite part of the show, Will. This is the part. Now, Will, I'm telling you, Becca, Will took this part very seriously.
Okay.
This is the part, Will, where you tell our listeners what your song choices say about you.
Oh, well, first of all...
We'll start. I'll cue you. Here we go. You ready? This is the song that kicked off the show was Gimme More by Britney Spears. What does that say about Will Weichel?
Let me get off the floor. Well, first of all, you know, Britney Spears is like my thing.
She's your thing.
My guilty pleasure. I feel such a kinship with her white trash southern roots, her bottle bleach job, and she, I don't know, for some reason I adore Britney Spears. So Gimme More out of her entire, because I would have chosen like 8 Britney Spears songs if I thought it was appropriate. But Gimme More, I think it is representative of my favorite Britney Spears song.
All right. All right. Okay. And we won't make you do all of them. We'll make you do 3. So now the one that I thought was uncharacteristic of Will Weichel, after everything we just said about positive outlook, the Dixie Chicks are not ready to make nice, and apparently Will is not either.
Well, the Dixie Chicks are number 2 on my list. Like, they are... I mean, when they went through that whole kerfuffle with George Bush,
yeah,
and country music banning them, and, you know, the Walmarts, the Middle America Walmarts bulldozing their CDs in the parking lot.
Stomping them in effigy.
Like, how can they not become the most superlative gay icon
ever?
There you go.
I mean, they were completely shunned by an entire group of people, and yet they came back and not only thrived, but dominated. They're so smart. I know the causes that they support, like, mm-hmm. Natalie, for instance, is really involved with the West Memphis 3, which is like a big charity that I love. And so, I don't know, they're just such smart girls. And I actually have a friend, get this, who lives, his parents are really rich,
mm-hmm.
and they own like this big condo in like West Chelsea. And there's 2 condos per floor. And across the hall is Marty from the Dixie Chicks.
We can come visit, right? Twice.
That's just great.
It's like, whenever I'm there, I find myself like Coach Lulu. I like hang by the door and watch through like the peephole to see if she's getting off the elevator. And I really like have this idea that when I finally do see her, I'm going to present myself as like the perfect babysitter, and we're going to become best friends, and they're going to invite me on tour, and we'll write music together.
So I would also recommend that we not go with option C of obsessed stalker for your winning speech.
Yeah, no.
Just trying to help.
I would stick with B.
We're still going with B. We're going with B. And then last but not least, and it's a song that'll play you out in just a few minutes. Now, this is not a song. See, I love that I had all the other songs on my iPod already. I did not have Jasmine Sullivan's Bust Your Windows.
Oh, again, an epic song. Well, are you a fan of the Glee on Fox?
Huge fan.
Huge fan. Well, you know that they're going to do a big Jasmine Sullivan Bust Your Windows event.
Will, I didn't know this. I didn't know.
Yes. Well, get ready, because it's going to be major.
Okay.
And this song, to me, it's like the iconic breakup song. It's sort of like, I mean, I love Carrie Underwood, what's her, Before He Cheats.
Before He Cheats, yeah.
You know, I don't advocate violence or...
or keying of the car, yes.
...property. As we know, I love the letter of the law. But this song is just, like, so fierce, because it's, like, it's just saying that, like, you know, someone who puts in, you know, 5 years of commitment, and the next thing you know, it's just washed down the drain with this, like, ease ball. Just totally, they deserve to be taken out.
Love it. Love it. Will Weichel, where should folks go to check out more? Where can they follow your goings-ons?
I can't find you, Will. Where are you?
Oh, hopefully, all of our fingers crossed. I'm about to have a major announcement, but I've been working on this deal for, like, now since May, but everything is moving in the right direction.
All right.
Yes.
The announcement is
can
not...
Can we get a hint?
Can we have a hint?
Well, I'll just say that it would put me on the level of post-reality achievement with Lizzie Hasselbeck.
Huh. But
all right, so now have another cocktail and then give us another hint.
We will. That could just be appearing on this show. I mean, that's
I
what
know,
people
really.
Could think
that's
that is.
I'm on my way.
Will Weichel, it is just an absolute pleasure. You are a ball of positive energy. You are doing such great work. We love that you have, I have to say, we talked a few weeks ago to Jamie Lauren from Top Chef And we like when the reality show folks have an actual job.
Yeah.
We like that. And you have an actual job. You are contributing to society.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we like it. So you are a ball of positive energy. It's just a thrill to have you on the show. We wish you all the best. Have a glass of wine for us. Say hi to Jason. And just keep doing good things.
Oh, thank you, guys. And keep in touch. We'll do it again.
Thanks, Will.
Absolutely. Take care.
Right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
That we're advocating for violence after a breakup, Jasmine Sullivan and Will Weichel, but that's a pretty fun song that I have never heard before. So we thank tonight's guest, Will Weichel. We thank Kyle, who called in earlier and is doing such great work. Kyle, you're doing such great work.
Good work.
Good work. Keep going. If you have not, folks, bought your tickets yet for Notes for Life, please, please, please stroll on over to notesforlife.net. All the posters are going up around Brattleboro.
All the cool people are going.
All the cool people are going. Becca will be there. My parents will be there. I mean, what more do you need? You can sit. I promise you. If you email us and buy a ticket in the next 2 hours, I promise you a seat between Becca and my mom.
Whoa.
So that's what I promise you. Stroll on over to notesforlife.net. All the proceeds will be benefiting the AIDS Project of Southern Vermont and the San Francisco AIDS Foundation. So please, please, please. And again, if you can't make it and you just want to be really, really supportive, buy a ticket. They're cheap. They're $25. If you buy them off of the site, they're $26.62. So that's pretty cool. And donate a ticket because there are a lot of people who want to go who unfortunately will not be able to make it. So please, please do that. That's pretty much it for us for this week.
Sure is.
How are you feeling? That was a jam-packed show.
It sure was. We didn't even get to most of the news this week.
What news?
But, you know.
Was there even news?
Proposition 1 in Maine. You know, yeah. It's like 60 days until it goes to vote. Something like that.
So that's really important.
Pay attention to that.
People should pay attention to that. They should get out there.
For Life is coming up
Notes
in a month.
For Life. Oh, my God. It's a month away.
And today has a really cool date.
9909.
That's right.
9909. Yeah, no, please, please support Notes for Life. Please get out there and educate yourself, particularly about transgender issues, because that's just by and large the population that is being ignored. And there's some real issues out there. And please be inspired by Kyle, a 16-year-old in Vermont who is
doing
making
stuff.
Some, doing stuff and making some changes. And that's all we ask of you from this show. We ask that you get out there and do stuff. If it's educating yourself, it's educating yourself. If it's holding a fundraiser, it's holding a fundraiser. If it's forwarding a website to your parents, be you LGBT or allied, you don't have to be gay to forward a gay story to your folks or to your friends. So do that. Get out there. Do great things. And please, please remember, why be gay when you can be
so, so gay?
Sorry, sir, I stole your money. Sorry, sir, I feel, but it's so, so twisted. So unreal. It was what I'd heard of and what I didn't have. But I cannot give what I do not have, and I cannot take what I do not have. I can't take it. Don't sell to fight.